Welcome to episode 93 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your host Tish and Dr. T. In this episode, we discuss the State of Origin Game 3 teams, a new rugby league movie, and our tips for round 17 of the NRL. Join us as we build the rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Right, welcome to episode 93 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where our aim is to build an online rugby league community for everyone. Each week we bring you the everyday fan's perspective on the biggest news and issues in the world of rugby league, and we break it all down for you in our own unique way. I am your co-host, Dr. T, a little under the weather, unfortunately, but Tish joining me hopefully is a lot more healthier than I am at the moment. Tish, how are you going?
I am doing fantastic, and Dr. T, well done. I thought you were going to break into some coughs there, but you know, it's great to see you, like, injured, injury cloud over you, but still managing to play it tough for another episode of you know, Rugby League, the Rugby League Republic, episode 93. Well done, Dr. T. Hats off to you.
That's right. Look, I'm not 110% this week. I'm 109%, in rugby league mathematics means you're crook. So, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm fighting fit. You know, I'm taking each game as it comes to time.
Yeah.
I'm going for the 2 points, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
But look, Tish, before we launch into, you know, what's going to be a big episode, I have to say, did you hear the latest news about LeBron James?
I did hear about LeBron James. He is going to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Is he? Oh, sorry. I thought he was joining the Sydney Roosters.
Oh,
sorry. My mistake.
No.
Everyone seems to be joining the Roosters nowadays. I just thought that they opened up. Nick Politis opened up the checkbook, and then
okay. Well, yeah. Look, unfortunately, yeah. No, I think the Roosters, they decided to get him, but I think that you know, like LeBron James wanted to sort of, you know, he's from, well, I think he's actually from the Cavs, but anyway, but you know, he just wanted to for a club that's a little less glamorous than than the Sydney Roosters. He wanted to go for a tough battling team who's struggling rather than a superstar team like the Roosters. I think that's what happened. But unfortunately, what's happening for the Cavs, you know, they're sort of outside the salary cap, so they're having to get rid of all their players. You know, they've gotten rid of LeBron. You know, they've gotten rid of Moses Mbai. They've gotten rid of Josh Reynolds. They've gotten rid of
coming back.
Yeah, that's right. They've gotten rid of Aaron Woods, and the lineup just keeps depleting. Maybe they should stop playing their games at Belmore and try to get more money into the club. I say, don't know what's happening there. So
that's right. Well, you know, I started off with NBA news because I think it's important to remind ourselves of how international rugby league is.
And so I think we've
been talking a lot about international rugby league. We've given the Americans rugby league recently with the England and New Zealand test match in Denver.
Yep.
So I think it's only fitting that we talk, you know, for a couple of minutes just about an American sport. But I think that's enough for that. Apart from the only thing I'm yet to see online is the meme showing that Jarrod Haynes' next dream is to play for the Lakers alongside LeBron James, which, you know, look, you know, you never know. Jarrod's got a lot of dreams. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jarrod Haynes, I'd say he's a good candidate to take over Trump in the presidency as well. I believe that's a dream for him as well. So hopefully, you know, hopefully Jarrod can get every dream that he wants. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, like I said, you know, we are one step ahead of the online meme machine, and yeah, I'm yet to see someone do that. But you know, we'll see. Get on it, internet. We are waiting for you. But anyway,
all right, cool. But look, did he get it? Are we launching into tackles? Just do you want me to quickly review what happened in round 16? You know, we had a full 8 games of rugby league over the weekend.
The first full 8 games for a while, and now we're going back to 4 games. So yeah, go ahead. Let us know what happened in round 16.
Okay. Well, look, on Thursday night it kicked off with the St. George Dragons taking over the versus the Parramatta Eels, 20-18. St. George taking it out first versus last, but you know what a great game that was. Then on Friday night we had the Sharks upsetting the Warriors at home, so it was 18 points to 15 for the Sharks over the Warriors. Then the Sydney Roosters went down to the Melbourne Storm, 9 points to 8, with Cameron Smith kicking a field goal right at the last minute. You know, the Sea Eagles beating the Panthers, 18-10, again away from home. The Bulldogs also beating the Knights at home, 36-16. The Broncos in a rare home team victory this weekend, defeating the Raiders 26-22. The Titans upsetting the new look West Tigers with Mbai and Farah 30 points to 12. And the Cowboys running out the round, going down in a thriller by 1 point in Cairns to the Rabbitohs 21-20. Of course, the Roosters and Storm game was in Adelaide, so it was Melbourne versus Sydney in Adelaide, which is kind of an interesting there. But did you catch any of the games, and what were your thoughts on some of the results there, Dr. T?
Well, look, I did catch a few of them. I saw the tail end of the Rabbitohs Cowboys thriller there. Yeah. Disappointed that actually Thurston mucked it up at the end. I mean, he had a couple of good opportunities. In fact, he had a chance to tie it at the end there when they got a penalty. Towards the end, there was a question mark about whether they were going to go for a 60-meter goal attempt, which obviously was never going to happen. So they kicked it downstream, downfield, and he did what he needed to do with 5 seconds left. He tapped it, and he went straight for goal from 10 meters from the sideline, and just missed it. And so that was kind of a bit unusual. I mean, Thurston has definitely lost his mojo since retiring from Origin. It's unusual, but and that explains why the Cowboys are second last and such a real, real slippery slide there for them. The Broncos, the Raiders and the Broncos. I mean, look, Broncos and Raiders and the Dragons and Eels, you can put those two down to the same thing. The Eels and the Raiders blew an exceptional lead cause an exceptional upset and both mucked it up. And the Eels in particular kind of disappointed me because they really looked the goods. There was a lot of talk in the dressing room from Brad Arthur about we were the better team for 75 minutes or whatever it was, and that's just not good enough because in my view, the better team is the team that actually is ahead on the scoreboard. So I'm kind of sick of hearing this argument of we were the better team. This goes back to what we keep talking about. How do you define better team? Do you define them as they possession, completion rates, sort of metrics you want to look at. But at the end of the day, the winner is the one that scores the most points. So really, you aren't the better team unless you actually are converting your possession, you're converting your completion rate to points. Exactly. And that's what it boils down to. And this is something that the Eels have lacked for a while. It's that kind of killer instinct to score those points. Without Semi, this is what we see. With Semi, we probably would have, had that extra try or two. And that would have given us a buffer. And a lot of the results this year for the Eels would have been vastly different. We wouldn't be talking about them being the wooden spooners. We'd be talking about them possibly nudging the top 8. So disappointed for me. I didn't catch the other games. It looks like there was a lot of close games there. and a couple of blowouts. So
yeah, absolutely.
What about you? Which games caught your attention this weekend?
Well, look, I did catch the entire St. George Parramatta game, and look, I do agree with you. I think Parramatta, they played really, really well. They did deserve the victory. Honestly, they really did. They really did play well. And St. George, they didn't probably have their best game, but you're right. You know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, somebody's going to be looking through the record books 10, 20, 30 years down the track, and they're going to see this game, and they're going to see Parramatta having a shocking season, losing to St. George. Nobody's going to remember how gallantly the Eels actually fought for this game, because it just doesn't show in it, the result isn't there, sort of thing. And you look very disappointed about the West Tigers. I was very happy with their attack in the first half, but too many mistakes. They're leaking quite a lot of points, and it's going to be hard for us to actually make it to the finals this year. So, you know, our standing on the ladder doesn't look too crash hot at the moment. So, yeah, and I think there's a bit of a buffer. I think there's about a 6-point buffer between the top eight and the bottom eight, which means that you pretty much have got your top eight locked in this year. I think Canberra and the Tigers are the only ones really eligible to make it through. So that's a bit of a change to what we normally see in the NRL. But, the NRL is sort of picking up steam at the back of State of Origin, but we still got one exciting State of Origin game to go. And the teams were announced this week, so why don't we kick off the six tackles with the State of Origin team, shall we?
Sounds like a great idea. Here we go, tackle number one. Let's go with the Blues first. So the Blues announced a virtually unchanged team, but there were some slight changes. So let's revisit the announcement. So we've got Tedesco, Trbojevic, Mitchell, Roberts, Adokar, Maloney, Cleary. So the backs are unchanged. In the forwards, we've got Clemmer, Cook. Vaughan comes in to the front row for Regan Campbell-Gillard. He wasn't actually there in game two either.
I think what they've done is they've actually dropped Pryor. And brought in Sims. So that's what they've done.
Right. Well, they dropped Pryor, have they? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Pryor was a last minute replacement anyway. Is that possibly an injury though? Is he injured?
Look, because he did play well, that's the thing. So, look, he was selected, I believe, earlier as like as an extra. So he's still in the squad. There might be an injury there, but I think the reason of choosing Vaughan is to give Tarek Sims a run, and I think that Brad Fittler now is thinking, okay, one, it's actually really the only change in the lineup. And I think he's doing it just so that he could actually, not like State of Origin, New South Wales teams in the past, where we've kind of picked and sticked with the team, even after they've lost every single game. This time, even though the team is winning, he's making slight changes just so he's got a bigger pool of Origin eligible players down the track. I think that's what he's trying to do, but it's a very interesting move from Brad Fuller, definitely.
So, Cordner, Frizzell, obviously Cordner captain, Frizzell and DeBellin.
Yep.
And the five remaining on the bench are Tarek Sims, as you mentioned, Jake Trbojevic, Angus Crichton, Tyrone Peachy, and Ryan James is 18th man. Yet again, there's calls for him after he did, you know, demolish the Tigers on the weekend. what more can he do? People are saying online. What more he can do is kind of wait his turn, because the others were selected ahead of him.
Absolutely.
He will get his turn, and no doubt about it, he will be a sensation. I think his time will come as well. Out of all those people ahead of him, I would say, look, Sims, having never played Origin, will debut on Wednesday, coming Wednesday. And Angus Crichton probably is the only one I would think that is kind of – his position is a bit vulnerable at the moment.
Yeah.
So in future, Ryan James could overtake that. But, you know, it remains to be seen. But, Tish, what do you think about this Blues side? It's not much has changed. Are we worried about James Roberts? Are we worried about anyone else there?
Well, look, I think all you can say about this lineup is that It's pretty much unchanged. Now it's their third game together. You know, they gelled better in game two than what they did in game three. And we expect the same sort of trend to happen in... game two to game one. Now we expect the same sort of thing to happen for game three. Yes, there were some sort of defensive issues in game two around Roberts, Mitchell, Trbojevic, and Josh Adakar, the way they sort of defend out wide. And I think Queensland will need to sort of definitely go and sort of target that. But I think ultimately Brad Fittler is building a squad. I think that's his motto. So he doesn't necessarily, even though it hasn't gelled as smoothly in defence as what he wants to, I think what he realises is that he does want to keep the team together so that they do get used to one another and they can defend each other down the track. You know, I'm pretty sure the first time, say, a Corey or, you know, let's take two great Queenslanders like, you know, Greg Inglis out on with, you know, Darius Boyd, you know, they're from two different clubs. I'm sure when they played their first State of Origin game together, there were some communication issues. And after a period of time spending time together, playing more games together, they became a better defensive unit. And I think Brad Fittler's got the same strategy for his outside backs. Yes, they're not that great in defence at the moment. Yes, there is vulnerabilities. But the more they play together, the stronger that will be. And I really applaud Brad for doing that. Fittler for doing that. And... I think Ryan James may still get a run. There is some doubt over Boyd Cordner. So if Boyd Cordner goes injured, then Ryan James will go in. And I think it's good that he's thinking of debutising players, Sims. And obviously Sims is a definite and James. And hopefully Tyron Peachey gets a bit more time with the time out there. But there's still another level. There's still some intrigue in the New South Wales team, even though it's virtually the same. I think this team is good enough to go 3-0. What about your thoughts there, Dr. T?
I would have said maybe, although because they were a bit on edge. Game two was a bit sort of could have gone either way.
Mm.
But I think we need to talk about Queensland because based on what we've seen with Queensland, I think we probably will go 3-0.
Yeah.
How about we just launch straight? Because the answer to your question, will we go 3-0, depends on our analysis of Queensland.
Absolutely.
So shall we just go straight into tackle number two,
Queensland? All right, tackle number two, Queensland.
All right, so Queensland have have made some quite major changes. Some of them forced upon them through injury, but some unnecessary, I think. And so let's go through it, and then we'll talk about the changes. So Billy Slater will be captain. We've got Valentine Holmes. Corey Oates comes into the other wing. Gagai and Chambers are the centres. Munster is six. Number seven, Daly Cherry Evans from Manly. In the front row, we've got Jai Arrow and Andrew McCulloch and Josh Papali. In the second row, Gavin Cooper, Felicia Kafusi and Josh Maguire at lock. And on the bench, we've got Ben Hunt, Jared Wallace, Cohen Hess, Tim Glasby and Dylan Napper. Coach Kevin Walters, what has he done? Tish, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay.
He's dropped Ben Hunt and brought in Daly Cherry Evans after all that talk about Daly being a bit of a rascal and a bit of a, what's his name? What's happening? Now they brought him in after, to be honest, Ben Hunt, he made some dumb decision, but he wasn't the reason they lost, surely.
Yeah, look, everybody's pointing back to that particular moment where, he sort of kicked the ball dead when, when New South Wales was down to 12 players with a man in the sin bin. He didn't really sort of secure position or possession at that time. Obviously it was a poor decision, but that was one decision in a 80-minute game. So, a second in an 80-second game is basically, giving him the bit of the chop or the umbrella, so to speak. And, I thought it was unfortunate. And you know what? A bounce the other way, it could have been a brilliant kick. So I think I agree with you there that it is a little harsh on Ben Hunt. I suppose Queensland for so long have been used to that, the game management of Cooper Cronk and, some of the other stars that sort of have, left their team. And now they don't have that. And, it's big shoes to fill for anybody that's taken that place. But I also think that there's a bit of a game being played here. When we say dropped, he's not really dropped. He's actually still in the he's on the bench. He's named at number 14, and in all the games that we've seen so far, I believe Queensland has always had a bench player actually start in each game. And I have a feeling that that Ben Hunt will actually start this game, and Daly Cherry Evans will move to we'll start off the bench. I think it's more of a gamesmanship from Kevin Walters, just to try and mix up what New South Wales thoughts are. You know, people are going to be focusing on Daly Cherry Evans. You know, obviously Tom and Jake played with him, thinking, okay, you know, we're going to prepare for Daly. But in the meantime, it's all about Hunt. It's all about what Hunt will do, and Hunt will actually take that place. I think that's what the change is there. Obviously, the other change is the big force change with Billy Slater captaining the team, considering their captain Greg Inglis has been injured, and that brings Corey Oates into the team and moves Gagai into the centres. How do you like the look of that back line there? Do you think it's as strong as putting Greg Inglis in there?
I don't know. I know that Gagai has played centre before. I don't know whether that's his best position. His success at Queensland level, at Origin level, has been due to his ability to finish on the wing, and so that's where he's, you know, had the most success. And I think that's that will be a bit lacking. But then again, you're not going to move Holmes, are you? And Corey Oates has been knocking on the door for a while, so he was probably unlucky to miss out to begin with. I think the real question is, how often is Chambers going to be smashed by Latrell Mitchell? So I don't actually know. I actually think the fact that Gagai is now going to be up against James Roberts could be James Roberts' game. I think with Inglis in front of him, probably he got monstered a little bit. With Gagai in front of him, I don't know if he might relish that opportunity. Maybe there'll be a bit of space there. Who knows? So that's what I'm thinking of. And back to the Ben Hunt point, I think you mentioned about the gamesmanship. That may be the case, but I still think it's still a risk to bring in another halfback unnecessarily. Yeah. So something's really up with that. Maybe they felt it was a bit of a message to Ben Hunt. We were disappointed with your performance, but we're not going to drop you completely. We want to retain you, give you another chance. So it was a bit of a consolation prize. I still think, I wonder why isn't the spotlight being turned on Cameron Munster? What did he do? What did he do in particular to service the backs? I appreciate the halfback has a lot to do, but did he do anything? I think he went missing for the majority of that match as well.
Yeah. And I kind of feel that they're kind of a very similar sort of player as well. Daly Cherry Evans and Cameron Munster, I think they're more sort of running half sort of in the mold. If you think about it, like Daly Cherry Evans plays well when he's got more of an organizing half that he's playing with. And Cameron Munster plays better when he's got an organizing half that he's playing with. So they're kind of missing a little beat. It's interesting. I know they're coming last on the ladder, and I know it's your team, but Corey Norman is also eligible. And, you can't go past his kicking game, Corey Norman. I mean, it's when he's kicking, I think Parramatta play well when his kicking game is on point. And if you're going to drop Ben Hunt because of his kicking game, then wouldn't you bring in a guy like Norman? Or even, this is kind of, Ash Taylor. The Gold Coast have scored more tries off kicks than any other team in the competition this year. So if you want to bring somebody in with a great kicking game, I think Ash Taylor could have been a choice. Daly Cherry Evans, look, he's a great player, but he's had issues playing the role in Origin. So, a lot of things for Kevin Walters to think about, definitely. I think you bring up the point about the message, and a lot of people are saying that, it's a strong message to Ben Hunt. In the world of Twitter and Facebook and emails and text messages. Like, isn't there an easier way, Kevin, to send a message? Like, doing yeah, it really?
Yeah. You should have just sent him a Snapchat.
Yeah, that's right.
Sent him a tweet.
That's right. Yeah, that's all it takes to send a message these days. Do we really need to, like, drop a player and, you know, let him go through therapy and depression? And, you know, even when the Dragons had won, they interviewed him at the end. And, you know, Andrew John starts off, oh, it's a tough week, enjoying the victory. And he's like, yeah, it was all right. And I'm like, oh, this poor bloke's been under the ringer. You know, I think there's a much more nicer way to actually send messages than to just drop a player. And you know, the other thing that was, the Daly Cherry Evans selection was a surprise. I think the person that was surprised the most was Daly Cherry Evans. He saw the call from Kevin Walters and didn't even pick up his phone.
So yeah, I read that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is the fact that he actually told everybody about it as well. Like, he didn't need to.
You know what's even funnier is that Kevin's brothers, Kerrod and Steve, did the same thing. They just ignore his calls.
Oh my
gosh. No, I don't know. Look, I just want to make a final point about this. So I think we're talking about Ben Hunt and being dropped and all that sort of stuff. But let's not forget that it wasn't so long ago that Daly Cherry Evans was considered the next in line to continue the great Queensland halfback sort of relay race. And and let's not forget as well that he not only has won a premiership with Manly, but he actually won a Clive Churchill medal in a grand final. So he is not a slouch when it comes to, the quality of his play. And I think the reason why he didn't succeed at Origin level, I've always thought, look, put it this way, this is not the story of Ben Hunt. This is potentially the redemption story of Daly Cherry Evans. We might actually be seeing the future Queensland halfback, and maybe the Ben Hunt experiment, it was just an experiment, maybe it didn't work out. If you look at Hunt versus Cherry Evans, do you think as an observer, as an outsider, that they've picked the best halfback that Queensland has at the moment? Now, if you were to look at when Ben Hunt was there, I must admit, a part of me sort of thought, well, Cherry Evans hasn't been picked because of, I guess, personality issues and all that kind of stuff. But now he's there. So I guess the question is he the best that Queensland has to offer? And I think he is. Has he proven it at Origin level? No. Is it all his fault? Not necessarily. I mean, he was in a system where you've got, Kronk as the number... he hasn't even been the half. Like, he was brought in when Kronk was injured, and he was also brought in when, to kind of play a 5/8 role, which didn't quite suit him either. So, like, when you look at it that way, you kind of think, well, he needs to be in a position where he's in charge, and he's never really had that opportunity at Origin level, and he might now, because Munster certainly wasn't being given the duty of being in charge. So it will be Cherry Evans's team to direct around, and I think they'll do very well. So this might be a danger game for New South Wales.
Potentially,
I think what's most likely to happen is that he will play well, he'll do well, he'll organise them, but I think we will cut them up the middle because I think we've got it all over their forwards, and I think Gagai's defence, I think James Roberts in for a big game. So I think that's where that will land, and this is just my early kind of preview thoughts on this. But I think apart from that, I think, there's a couple of changes in the forwards as well. Nothing really big to speak about except Napa being put at 18th man, which is a bit unusual. I thought he was actually one of their best forwards, so I don't know what's going on there.
I think there was an injury cloud or something as well, but look...
Okay.
Yeah, but as happens every time we sort of preview the Queensland team, is it going to matter anyway? I mean, Brad Fittler, he's getting New South Wales ready for a dynasty to start, and it doesn't matter if they pick Daly Cherry Evans, if they pick Jonathan Thurston, whoever they pick, if they find the next greatest immortal. It's not going to stop the Blues from winning for the next 10 years in a row, I'd say.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay, all right.
All right, so we move on to tackle number 3.
All right, let's do it.
All right, and this time we're talking about Wayne Bennett's sensational claims about the future of rugby league. What has he said, Tish?
Okay, well, on the back of the England victory in Denver, Colorado, I think Wayne Bennett was in Mile High Stadium when he made this comment and potentially in more ways than one. But Wayne Bennett has actually come out and said that rugby league will die if it doesn't grow around the world in the next 15 years. So, you know, Wayne Bennett has just made extraordinary claims that rugby league will be dead in 15 years if the game doesn't grow internationally. You know, his side was victorious 36-18, as mentioned, in Denver. But, you know, he's more concerned about how it looked on television and the fact that, you know, the Kiwis did not have... you know, Sean Johnson or Roger playing, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and basically, you know, not really, you know, and this game was sort of, you know, put on by a promoter, not really the international body, was kind of the Instagram, and this, it was more of a I don't want to say money-making, but it was more of a promoter sort of trying to push the game into the US, but look, I kind of I know Wayne Bennett's come out recently. This year he's seemed to have more press. He's been more talkative this year, come out with a lot of different statements. But I personally do agree with him to a certain point. I don't think rugby league will die, a death if it doesn't grow internationally in the next 15 years. I think it'll still be around, but I don't think it. I think it's missing out on a huge potential, and I think the game can grow much bigger. And in many ways, I think Wayne Bennett is right. We do have to have that vision in mind that we need to be always growing the game. And I think in recent years, maybe the NRL, maybe the Super League, they've been a little conservative when it comes to expanding the competition. But I think we need to do that, and I think that both the Super League and the NRL need to get behind International Rugby League, and let's get a proper schedule happening for International Rugby League, getting the Tier A teams playing regularly against each other, the Tier B teams playing regularly against each other, and having Team Bs play Team As, and growing the game in places like the US, like Africa, like South America, like all these places that, where rugby league, I think, can really thrive if we get behind it. And I think that Wayne, he's an old man sometimes with old thoughts, but I think this is actually a really good, I think it's good that a well-respected, probably the greatest coach we've seen in rugby league has come out and said this. I think it's fantastic news. So are you for, what are your thoughts there, Dr. T, on Wayne Bennett's outlook for rugby league and its future?
Yeah, look, I think he's a man of not many words. And when he speaks, there's a bit of gravity to what he says.
Yeah.
I'll give you one quote that right. He told the media,
okay,
which says it all. And this is six words. It's just six words. The game works against the game. That's classic Wayne Bennett, isn't it?
That's
the
very deep.
The game works against the game. Mm. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. Because, but look, it really does. In all seriousness, it does really, you know, pretty much go to the heart of what he's trying to say, which is, you know, we shoot ourselves in the foot as a global sport.
Mm.
You know, not kind of getting our act together, not being coordinated, all that kind of stuff. We're not big enough in terms of global reach and money and all that kind of thing to be able to afford having one professional competition pushing against, like he says, tugging one way and the international game tugging the other way.
Yeah,
just can't afford that. We're not, you know, if we were FIFA and the soccer and whatever, you know, you'd have lots of professional leagues to choose from and the international. You know, in many ways, a lot of what's happened internationally in soccer recently, the success of the Champions League, which is a club game, you know, has a club competition has been like a grassroots thing. You know, it's been something that has evolved over time. So this is what we need to do is to kind of have a bit more of a coordinated approach. I mean, look at what's happened with the, you know, the club championship. And it's not just the international game. I think it's the broader point I wanted to make is that Wayne Bennett is right, but he also doesn't go far enough. I think it's not just about the international game. It's about everything internationally. It's about the way we coordinate our World Club Championship. You know, there's some good ideas in the last couple of years to kind of bring additional teams along to make it more than just about the top teams that won both the Super League and the NRL competitions. Why didn't we pursue that? Why wasn't there a mandate that, you know, say the top four teams in both competitions would go into a big kind of tournament? You know, wouldn't that be fantastic? Why can't we do things like that? I mean, there's lots of innovative ideas that we're not really taking forward. I don't know why. And often the reason is because the clubs are too powerful. They pay the players and they don't want to necessarily release certain players for fear of injury, and then that could affect their prospects in the coming year, all that kind of thing. Maybe the solution in terms of what we can do about this is to get back to what kind of sparked rugby league as a sport to begin with, which was compensation for players being injured and compensation in terms of lost time at work. Because remember back then they weren't professionals, they were workers, and if you got injured and you're out for a couple of weeks, it means that you couldn't go to your labourer's work, or you couldn't do whatever you were doing, and you lost actual money. So back then it was for the love of the game that players played the game. And until rugby league came in and the whole split with rugby union occurred because of this, that the union kind of rose up, the bunch of players in the northern part of England in Hull basically said, look, we need to compensate our players. We need to do something. We're losing our players. And it was basically like a union movement, like a workers-based, a workers' union movement. Maybe we need something similar now. Maybe the solution to clubs not wanting to release players and not being innovative is that the reason that they're cautious is that they're afraid of losing their golden eggs, which are the players. So maybe what we need to do is to have a centralized pot of money, and if your player gets injured, you get some sort of compensation, financial compensation, almost like a reward for releasing that player for international duty, doing your duty for the good of the game. And we don't want you to lose out if your player gets injured and for the rest of the season you don't get that player. Maybe you get a portion of their salary gets paid to you to cover for that loss, and you can spend that money elsewhere on, I don't know, better training equipment or something. So there's ways that we can get around this. These are not but the broader point that Wayne Bennett says is right. You know, we've got to have a better coordinated approach. But anyway, that's my view. What about you, Tish?
Well, look, I think you're right. We need to have a better coordinated view. Obviously, it's we have a bit of a beachhead in the South Pacific nations. Probably rugby is still their major sport there, but rugby league is definitely growing in those countries. In PNG, it's the national sport, and I think in New Zealand we've had a really good, sort of two decades of great rugby league success and a growing game, but I think it's kind of falling apart a little bit in New Zealand. So I think we need to fix that up a little bit. I think that's what the scheduling will resolve those issues, because it just gives more emphasis on international rugby league, which is important. And then look, in terms of growing it outside of that, you know, we've come up with different sort of ideas and suggestions, different sort of thoughts. You know, as you were sort of talking, I was kind of thinking about the Harlem Globetrotters, and I was thinking, what if we could have a ragtag team of rugby league players that are very athletic, very acrobatic, and can put on some really good moves, Just to try and, you know, because we kind of like always promote the brutality of the sport. I think sometimes we need to sort of more showcase this spectacularness of rugby league and show some of the more spectacular and athletic abilities that the players have, and really the how much strategy goes into the game. Like, you know, the feedback that I get from most people that I talk to who don't understand rugby league is that they just see it as a brutal bash-em sort of game, and they kind of miss all the strategy because the game happens so quick. But, you know, sometimes they just, I think if we kind of showcase more of the athletic skill and some of the, you know, sort of the way the teams sort of strategize and stuff like that, I think that will actually bring a bigger audience. So, you know, maybe the North Sydney Global Bears with Benji and Thurston, you know, sort of in the halves doing all these little trick shots, maybe something like that. What do you think about having an ambassador lineup that goes around the world, you know, sort of playing up against local celebrities? Don't you think that would be a great idea?
Yeah, sounds good. And call them, instead of the Harlem Globetrotters, call them the Hull Globetrotters.
The Hull Globetrotters, I like it.
What do you reckon?
Well, I thought the North Sydney Global Bears, but it's all right. So the but I like the Hull. Yeah, Hull could work. But yeah, look. Hopefully Wayne's voice has an impact with the game's administrators, because, you know, he doesn't speak enough. I suppose he doesn't speak a lot, and when he does speak, I think people should listen. So, moving right along, I say tackle four.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So, look, one way to innovate is to get into Hollywood.
Absolutely.
And to get into the minds of, you know, the get into our eyeballs via the cinema screen, the silver screen. And there's a new announcement. There is a new rugby league movie. Tish, look, it's called Chasing Comets. It's going to come out soon.
Yeah.
It's been written. The writer is a well-known name in rugby league circles. Who is it?
Yes, it is... probably your favorite player of mine, Jason Stevens.
Oh, Jason Stevens. Remember him from Cronulla and St. George days.
Of course. And Jason Stevens was, wasn't he the most eligible bachelor of rugby league? And, you know, they tried to set him up on multiple dates on the footy show and always looking for love. And I think he's part of either the Channel 7 or Channel 9's Getaway or one of their shows as well. So... yeah, look, a very bright personality in rugby league. I think in my junior days, he might have actually handed me a trophy one time. But anyway.
Jason, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But Jason Taylor, he's a...
I got his signature, by the way, because he's now going to be famous in Hollywood.
Absolutely, Jason Stevens. So he's written it. I don't think he's actually starring in this brand new movie. But basically, the story, yeah, the movie is called Chasing Comets. It comes out August 23rd. It's about, you know, an NRL player who's chasing his dream to play in the big leagues. But then, you know, he's sort of playing out at Wagga, and he's looking for love. So it's a bit of a romantic comedy, you know, set in New South Wales country town, Wagga Wagga. You know, look, I haven't seen it yet, but look, what I've heard that it is definitely a notch or two above Citizen Kane. it's probably the greatest movie that you could ever watch. You know, like I believe that Leonardo DiCaprio is quite angry that he wasn't called for this movie, we could be seeing some Oscars going on to the way of Chasing Comets. So really a movie that you cannot miss. And look, I think as rugby league fanatics like you and I, we definitely need to go and watch this movie. But I think more than that, I think if you're a rugby league fan, you need to go out, find this movie, watch it, get behind it, support it. And who knows, you know, look, I didn't know about bobsledding until I saw that movie about the Jamaicans going bobsledding. You know, I really didn't know too much about ice hockey until I saw the Mighty Ducks. And I think really, you know, it's a game that maybe, you know, if it gets international distribution, maybe we could see, kids in America growing up might want to chase their own NRL dream. Wouldn't that be something?
And, absolutely. Well, I mean, look, Jason Stevens is to be commended for, you know, for actually, you know, putting this together, for writing this, because I think that's spectacular.
Yeah,
I'd like to maybe sort of read, if I may, the storyline.
Okay,
from IMDb, so it's a reputable.
Okay, spoiler
source.
Alert. Should we get spoiler alert or?
I don't know. I mean, this is, who knows. Sometimes these synopses are only descriptive of the first 5 minutes of the film anyway. So it might not spoil the entire film, but it will tell you what it's about.
Okay.
You know, it's not a spoiler as much as a teaser.
Okay. So
this is what we've put out there. This is what it's about. So here we go. Wagga is a country town that loves its sport, but is divided over its loyalty for the rival codes AFL and NRL. It's in this setting that we find our hero Chase Daylight. Chase's dream to play in the NRL is falling by the wayside, just like his relationship to Brooke. Chase seems destined to follow in the steps of his unfaithful dad. At his lowest point, Chase takes a leap of faith to sort out his life. But living this out is a far greater challenge than he imagined. Chase gets dropped from the team and dumped by his girlfriend. His leap of faith might possibly be the worst decision he has ever made. I'll tell you who's going to be number one ticket holder when the gates open on the 23rd of August-ish.
Yep.
Ben Hunt. He knows what it's like to be dropped.
Absolutely.
And he'll be up there. Mitchell Pearce will be second in line as well. But look.
Yeah.
Looks interesting. Sounds very
much like
Home and Away, which doesn't surprise me because some of the actors are from Home and Away.
Home and Away, absolutely, yeah.
So this should be interesting. I mean, let's see. Hopefully, hopefully it'll be up there with what's Ando's Footy Legends. That kind of Legends. Is that the one? What's it called?
Footy Legends,
So look, it's going to add to the long line of many rugby league based movies.
Absolutely. And look, there's a subtitle for this. It's Chasing Comets, the Ben Hunt story.
That's right. Well, it's loosely based on Ben Hunt's story. Let's be fair. I don't think they're not going to sort of give him any royalties for this. So, interesting. Looks interesting. So look, get out there. We'll let you know how it goes. We'll be tracking how much money it makes, and then we'll be advertising it. So we want everyone to get out there in whatever cinemas are showing this movie and support the local rugby league movie industry, of which there is only one movie at the moment.
Yes. Absolutely. And look, final words, I just got some late-breaking news from Mumbai. Bollywood writers have already plagiarized this movie. With their Bollywood version of it.
Wow, there you go. Look, when Bollywood comes knocking, you're onto a good product.
That's right. So there we go. So moving right along, I say
Let's move right along, and I'm gonna talk about Bollywood as well in a minute with the Panthers. So here we go, tackle number five. Now the Panthers mid-season review. Now it strikes me a bit odd that we have a mid-season review for a team that's going all right. But maybe someone has thought of the brilliant idea of including Bollywood dancing at the local Penrith Stadium.
Potentially.
For entertainment purposes. But that's not what this is about. Tish, what's this Panthers mid-season review about?
Yes, look, it's been announced sort of earlier this week that the Penrith Panthers are actually doing a in-house mid-season review of the club's football operations, and that actually includes the performance of the coach Anthony Griffin, the general manager of the Penrith Panthers, as we all know, Phil Gould, is evaluating the team's performance and looking for ways to capitalize on their great start to the season. So it looks like that there is an assistant coach, Cameron Seraldo, who will be taking a more of a hands-on approach to the actual coaching of the team, as well as looking at where some of their retired players like Peter Wallace is going to do around the club. And, they're basically just trying to figure out ways that the club can sort of change the way it's playing footy until the end of the season. Now, it sounds all interesting and promising and so forth, but I think the problem that I have with this is that is a review really necessary? Like, I don't know how far or how reaching this goes, but we are talking about a team that has had a great start to the season. They're currently, I think they're still within, they're actually running fourth at the moment, but you could also say equal third in terms of points. They've had a couple of, losses back to back here a little bit, but you also got to remember that they've also had quite a number of players who have played State of Origin this year. Obviously their halves are playing State of Origin. On top of that, I think they had a couple of players that also played for New Zealand, as well as some of the Pacific Island test matches a week or two ago. So, look, I think the recent losses, I don't think they should be that alarmed with. Anthony Rivens has done a great job with this squad. Do they really need a review? I mean, I can understand the Eels and the Tigers and the Titans and all these other clubs that aren't in the top eight doing a review, but really, do the Panthers need to do a review at the moment? I think it's just a little too serious, a little too. I think it's a bit much, but that's my thoughts on it. What about your thoughts there, Dr. T?
Yeah, look, if I'm to take the Wayne Bennett less is more approach, I would simply review the Panthers' season thus far as follows: doing good. Origin's a bit of a problem. That's it. That's what I would say. Like, that's literally what's happened. They're doing pretty good until Origin hit, and they've taken a little bit of a hit in the last couple of weeks because they've been mucked around a bit with Origin duties. It's as simple as that. They still are worthy of being, premiership contenders, and even though they've had a couple of losses recently, an unexpected one to Manly recently for last weekend, for instance. But is that enough to sort of take them down a peg or two? No, not really. I think they're still up there. They're still in with a chance. And, don't forget that by the end of all this, by the end of the Origin period, you're going to have Nathan Cleary is one season wiser and he'll be an Origin series winning halfback by the time they get into the final series. Maloney's on fire. He's doing what he needs to do. Again, Origin series winning, 5/8 at the moment. So, look, what more can you ask for? I mean, there's a lot of players that are just going to be improving as the season goes on. We've said this before that there are kind of, the season is kind of can be split up into three quite distinct phases. You've got phase one, which is just the beginning part of the season, where often you see some clubs streaking out to a big lead and putting some points on the board, and then they drop away. And there's this famous kind of or infamous kind of thing with the Dragons, where they've been, March and April premiers for the last few years. They always get off to a winning start, and then they drop off towards the end of the year and often don't even make the finals. So that's a bit of a concern. It's not the case this year. They're still going strong, which is great, but there's that phase. Then phase two is usually Origin. And in the Origin period, that's where some of the clubs like the Storm, who usually also get off to a great start at the beginning of the year, build up enough of a buffer, knowing that they're going to lose a lot of players during the Origin period, and they're going to be disrupted, and they may lose a couple of easy games with or without their stars. So that's the second period, and that goes for, like I said, a third of the season or so. And then you've got the run home to the final series. So that's where it often takes a while. That's where you see some teams coming from the clouds, building up momentum. And this is where the momentum is king, basically. And this is where the Storm also in the past have kind of built that momentum and been so successful into the final series. So this year is going to be no different, and I think the Panthers with the New South Wales Blues winning based on their halves combination in the Panthers and a few others like Tyrone Peachy, etc. These are players that will have had such a wonderful experience in Origin, and they can only help the team as we go towards the tail end of the season. Which we're not into yet. We're still in the Origin period. So Again, a bit odd to kind of, you know, review a club that's going well when it's in the middle of its, you know, of a trough in a way in terms of the season. So, yeah, like I said, that's my long-winded version, but I like Wayne Bennett's version better, which is done good. Origin's a bit of a pain. That's it.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. Yeah, and look, maybe if their general manager spent less time on television and more time actually general managing the club a little.
I think
is that a shot? I should have said that. But
no, he's got I mean, that's the thing. He's got that role to play at a strategic level and a media level, and that's fair enough. But let's not forget, like, I mean, there's, you know, that's interesting you make that point, but you know, the Blues, one of the things that the Fittler has done with the Blues, just to tie this up to the Blues again, of course, Fittler being an old Penrith player as well, is that he was very open with the players being given, or the media being given access to his players, a lot more than they've been in the past. Now, he's just proven that that's not going to be detrimental to the game or to their ability to concentrate or anything of that nature. You know, he's just sort of proven that the old thing about, well, you got to shut down the media access to players because they need to concentrate, that's absolute myth. And so I would say the same thing about Gus Gould, is that I think he's able to do what he needs to do. And the reality is that he probably works in an advisory capacity more than anything else. And he lets, you know, he lets others run the show in a way. But, you know, look, whatever you can say about him, they're doing well. They've recruited well. They're building well. They're evolving well. And, yeah, it's all good. So thumbs up, double thumbs up. Is that what the final review will tell them?
Yes, I think so. So, you know, let's hope they don't get too many people trolling their reviews online.
Exactly. Yelp. why don't I just give them a Yelp review?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so let's move on to the final tackle. Tackle number 6. And we are at the tips now. And, of course, we talked about the results of round 16. Just as I caught up last time, or almost caught up, I went and threw it all away. I only got 1 out of 8, my worst performance ever.
Wow.
In one of these tipping sort of things. So, look, and the only one was Rabbitohs. I only really won by 1 point. So I've had a shocker this weekend. But you, on the other hand, did admirably. You got 5 out of 8. So you now go up to 71, and I'm back at 66. But I won't be able to catch up this weekend because there's only 4. It's a split round, or not a split round, but it's a disrupted round, shall we say. A lot of teams.
Five out of eight is the best because it's like the rugby league score, right?
Exactly. That's exactly
right. Anyway.
look, in round 17 is what we're going to talk about. We've only got 4 games, and the rest of the teams are battling the bye. So So first we've got Storm versus Dragons. Now, it's actually first versus third, but it's as good as a top-of-the-table clash, I think. I still think the Dragons will win this one. I know that the Storm will have Cam Smith, and Billy Slater won't be there, but and Munster as well. And I think they actually will be detrimental to the Storm. But I think the Dragons can handle not having Ben Hunt. They got Widdup and they got a few other players. So Dragons for mine. What about you?
Well, look, I think this is this is New South Wales Cup versus Queensland Cup time with these two teams having so many Origin players. But look, I think you're right. I think the Dragons will take this one out. They really are unbeatable this year. It's quite crazy.
The Panthers versus the Warriors. I'm actually going to tip the Warriors on this one purely because obviously the Panthers are losing some key players.
Oof, yeah, look, this is a tough game to predict. Look, you know what? I am with you. I think the Warriors will actually take this one out. So, Warriors for mine in this one.
All right. Bulldogs versus Raiders. The Bulldogs are at home, but I still think, look, I think the Raiders potentially with you know, that previous, you know, defeat in, you know, the defeat to the Broncos, escaping the jaws of victory or whatever the saying is. They somehow managed to bumble that, fumble that their way to a loss. I think Ricky Stewart will absolutely rip him to shreds because they really need to concentrate. They can't just be a one half, 40-minute, 60-minute team. They need to play the full 80 minutes, and I think they'll do a lot better. I think the Bulldogs' halo effect of having had a bit of change, losing Woods and Mbai, et cetera, is going to wear off. I think they'll get back to a bit of a reality check, and the Raiders will put some points on them.
Yeah, well, look, I think you could call this game the Ricky Stewart Cup, considering he played for both these teams. But look, I'm going to go the other way. My thoughts on it is different. I think the Bulldogs are without distraction now, because I think their start of the season was all due to all the salary cap drama. So I think with that out of the way, they can concentrate on building this team. They had a good performance last week, and I think they'll have a better performance this week.
All right, and Titans and the Broncos. Look, this is not going to be a Friday night match, which is already a negative for the Broncos. But I think the Titans will take this one out.
Yeah, look, I got to say, a bit disappointed this game is actually being played in Origin season. I think it's one of these ones that you want to have outside of Origin because of the local rivalry. Having said that, I think the Broncos will take this one. I think the Titans are up and down. They were good against the Tigers. It means that they're going to be ordinary this week. And, I think they've got a couple of players out as well. I think Jai Arrow is playing for Queensland as well. So, it's a team that can't afford to lose their big players. Broncos for mine in that one.
All right, and that's it. That's the end of the tips because there's only four games. But, look, Tish, let's wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We've had a lot to say in this podcast. A lot of things happening. We're going to do a proper preview of State of Origin Game 3 next episode next week. But for now, we've just been sort of going through a bit of the interesting news with the teams and everything else has been happening in the world of rugby league. So thank you very much for joining us. And don't forget to check us out on iTunes and on Facebook and on our website, rrepublic.com. Tish, over to you to wrap this one up.
Well, thank you, Dr. T, for this episode of Rugby League. Thank you for the Rugby Republic, I should say. Thank you all for listening to this show. I hope you had a great time listening to this show. But look, that's all the time that we have for this edition of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.